Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Psalm 132. Psalm 132, a song of ascents. Remember, O Lord, on David's behalf, all his affliction, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. Surely I will not enter my house nor lie on my bed. I will give not sleep. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrah. We found it in the jar of Jair. Let us go into the dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy godly ones sing for joy. For the sake of David, thy servant, do not turn away from the face of thine anointed. The Lord has sworn to David a truth from which he will not turn back, or the fruit of your body I will set upon your throne. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I will teach them, their sons shall sit upon your throne forever. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her needy with bread. Her priests also I will clothe with salvation, and her godly ones will sing aloud for joy. There I will cause the horn of salvation to spring forth. I prepared a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall shine. Amen. So Psalm 32, again, there's 15 psalms in this section, and they're the songs of ascent. And these are the songs that the Israelites would sing as they make their march up to Jerusalem for one of the three holy feasts in the calendar. And so Psalm 132 is sometimes regarded to be David's psalm, but probably most likely. The most likely person who actually wrote this was probably Solomon. And the evidence of that is, if you look at verse 8 through 10, this prayer, this part is actually a direct quote from 2 Chronicles chapter 6, 41 and 42, which is ascribed to Solomon in this place. And so so they're singing to this thing, and this whole psalm is about, and you have to look at the lens, it's about David, it's about his desire to build the house of the Lord, but it's also about the coming Messiah that laid out. So it's like a view and then a view, to give you an idea, like a close view and then a far-reaching view, or a prophetic view in this way. And so this starts off, it says, remember, O Lord, on David's behalf, all his affliction, right? All the stuff that he went through, you know, his dad rejecting him, his brothers rejecting him, and then later on his son rejecting him, the nation rejecting him. I mean, he's gone through a lot of affliction. And so this is so important. But the highlight of this psalm is David's action as it pertains to the temple. And so you guys know the story that David ended up building this beautiful palace for himself. When there was a lot of conquest, a lot of peace, he built a home for himself, a lavish home. And then in the midst of that, he realized, you know what? I have this beautiful home, but how about a home for the Lord? You know, how about a resting place for the Father? And so he was really beaten up about that. And so even when he finished his home, so, okay, I'm jumping the story. So he goes to the prophet Nathan, and he says, basically, do I have permission to build a home for the Lord? And Nathan says, yes, you have permission. But Nathan said it without consulting the Lord. Which is a really good reminder for us, right? That whatever we do, we should always consult the Lord and not just go by our own intellect or our own ideas. And so he goes to the Lord, and the Lord says, no, no, no. David is a man of blood. He's a man of war. He will not build my home. His son, Solomon, will build my home. So he goes back and tells David, but this is like, remember, David does a lot of bad stuff, but David is a man after God's own heart. And so David finishes his home. He is told, I will not build the temple. My son will build the temple. But David doesn't get embittered. David, he just understands. He accepts God's will. He says, okay, I get it. I'm cool with that. And then he doesn't sleep in his home, this massive palace that he built, and he spends the rest of his life trying to collect materials, gold, you know, I mean, all kinds of stuff to build the house of God. This is going to sound very self-serving, okay? And so I want you to not hear it that way. Just hear it as from a minister of God. But, you know, when I look at that kind of story, how many people have that kind of concern for the house of God, even as much as concern for their own home? You guys understand what I'm saying? You know what I mean? David had this equal, yeah, I mean, he had a passion for his home, and you should. You should have a passion for your home, for your family, for your kids, you know, for their education, all that stuff. Yeah, you should have that. But at the same time, you should have an equal passion for the house of God and the people in the house of God. You know, David looked at it as kind of two homes in a way, right? One home, you know, went this way, and the other home, right, which was the temple, which was his house. And in the way we will kind of interpret it, right, his church. And so this equal affection, right, for, just thinking in many different ways, for my family, for my kids, and this equal affection for my brothers and sisters. You know what I mean? This is kind of like the Christian or the biblical reality. Remember Jesus when he's hanging on the cross in the book of John. You know, he turns to his mother who should have gone to James, you know, being the next son. That's the Jewish custom. But instead, he tells his disciple, behold your mother, right? And disciple, right? Behold your son. And so he gives the care, right, to the disciple, not to his family. And I think there's something very significant about that. And you've heard me teach on this many times, right? The blood of Jesus is thicker than your family blood. The blood of Jesus is thicker than your ethnic blood. The blood of Jesus is thicker than your national blood. You can be proud of your ethnicity, of your nationality, all those things. And I'm proud to be an American. You know, I'm proud, you know, sometimes to be Korean, right? You know, but man, it's my identity as a Christ follower that takes preeminence over all these things. And so you see David in his heart, he had such a care for his home, but he also had a care for God's home, right? For God's people in this way. And can you imagine a church, right? Can you imagine a house of God that has that equal kind of concern? Right? You know, yeah, we're concerned with, you know, where I live, we're concerned with all these things, but yet at the same time, we're also concerned of the church. And it'd be amazing, because I tell you what, if that was your heart, you would serve in the church. That would be a natural function of how that goes. You know, I've been trying to counsel, you know, one of our leaders from a different church. And, you know, they have so many kids at the church, but the parents will not volunteer. You know, they sign up, they don't show up, you know, in these things. And you know, even if they say, well, you know, your kids can't come in, they don't care. They just still come. They let the kids run around in the foyer the whole time, you know. And I was like, man, you really don't love your church at all, right? Because it's just all about you. Right, I just want to come to service. I just want to, you know, just eat. You know, I'm not going to serve anyone else. And I'm like, wow, you have a lot of concern for your own family, for your own home. You have no concern for the house of God. And how many churches are full of this type? How many people in SP Hong Kong are like this? You know, a lot, right? A lot. And, you know, I don't want to sound so frustrated when I say that, but that's not coming out of frustration. That's just coming out of the truth. And something needs to change. That's something about the heart of David. Right? He refused to sleep in his home that he built until he had finished making the preparations, you know, for the temple. It's quite a fascinating thing. And so he tells, the son now, you know, he's speaking on behalf, and you can imagine these guys are coming up, and maybe, right, they're getting close to the temple. Maybe they can see it. Maybe they're at the top of the Mount of Olives, you know what I mean? And they're starting to, you know, they've ascended, and they're looking at the temple, and then they would sing this song. And they would remember, oh, yeah, David, you know, this was God's promise to David. His son would build it, and, you know, and all these things. And so they say, remember your servant David. Remember all of his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. And he says, look, surely I will not enter my house. This is the episode I was talking about. Surely I will not enter my house nor lie on my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord. A passion. The same passion would also be displayed in later on the descendant of David, which is Jesus. Remember when Jesus goes into the temple? This happened twice, the temple cleansing. And the disciples, they proclaim, he has a zeal for the Father's house has consumed him. You know, this passion for the house of God. And he says, Lord, I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to lay my head on any, you know, comfortable thing until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. And remember, it was David who searched and sought after the Ark of the Covenant. Before the temple, before the tabernacles, before all these things, the house of God or the habitation of God was the Ark of the Covenant. And so this is the resting present glory of God, the resting place of God. And if you remember, during David's time, the Ark was lost. It was lost. So many people died in Beth Shemesh and other places that it was actually sitting in Kiriath Jearim for a long period of time. And it was David the one that sought after this. And so these things that he's saying, this is totally true. I mean, this is totally what David was about. And so he says, as it continues on, you know, behold, we heard from Ephraim, we found it in the field of Jar. And he's talking about this search after, you know, let us go into his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength, the ark of the covenant. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy godly ones sing for joy. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 6, right? It's quoted there, this part. And notice the priests are clothed with righteousness. And it's really important because you know what happened? You know what happened when people mishandled the Ark of the Covenant? They died. When people, you know, just even simply touched it, and when people opened it, I mean, thousands of people died. And so it's important that the priests, who would be the ones that handle the Ark, they would be in this place clothed with righteousness. And so, for the sake of David, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The Lord has sworn to David a truth from which he will not turn back, or the fruit of your body I will set upon your throne. This is now revelation. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony which I will teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forever. These passages are quoted in the book of Acts and in the book of Luke. Because the throne of David forever is the Messiah. This is talking about Jesus, right? That Jesus is the completion, really, of this prophecy that's laid out here. You know, for the Lord has chosen Zion, Jerusalem, in this place. He has desired it for his habitation. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her with provision. I will satisfy her needy with bread. Her priests also I will clothe. Now notice here, verse 16. I will clothe with salvation. Before it was righteousness, and now it's salvation. Why? Because salvation belongs to the Lord. Right? Salvation only comes through his Son. And our godly ones will sing aloud for joy. And it says, there I'll cause the horn of David to spring forth. I prepared a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself the crown shall shine. So you have the horn, the lamp, and the crown. Right? This is all talking about royalty. Right? It's all signifying a kingship. But it's signifying something that's going to continue to go on, that's going to last forever. It's talking about the reign of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And such a, I mean, you know, it's so deep when you think about this. And the heart of David to have such concern, not be so concerned about his own personal comfort, his personal safety, you know, all these things, but he was concerned about creating a resting place for the Lord. Now, let me turn this a little bit, right? Because, you know, the Lord doesn't sit in some dwelling place, in some house. The New Testament says that he resides in our hearts. And so the habitation of God is in our hearts. Paul will go to great lengths to teach us, right? The temple, he makes this incredible analogy or this connection. The temple that was in Jerusalem is no longer there, but the temple is now here. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so when we talk about this dwelling place, and I alluded to this a few weeks ago in one of my sermons. You know, we sang that song as a response. You know, hear, O Lord, have I prepared for you a home? Long have I desired for you to dwell. Hear, O Lord, have I prepared a resting place? It's a good song, by the way, Nate. Okay. You know, hear, O Lord, I wait for you alone. And I think there's something very significant, right, when we talk about, Lord, I'm going to prepare a resting place for you. It's here. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's in my heart. It's in my mind. It's in my affections in this way. And so as Pastor Nate comes up and leads us in that song, let's have the heart of David this morning. Let's give ourselves no rest, no food, until we find a place for the Lord, until we build our home in our hearts. Let's have more concern, not just for our own personal things, our personal homes and our personal families, but let's also have equal concern for the house of God and the people of God. You know, this is a major theme throughout the New Testament. John, the beloved, he will say, do you have this world's goods? And you see your brother in need? And you hold on to what you have? And he asked the question, how then can you say you have the love of God in your heart? This concern for your family, yeah, but also this concern for the family of God. Let's pray that we be like David and have this equal concern. You know, some people will, you know, buy just like expensive furniture for their home. You know, and if the church buys something mediocre, they complain. How could you spend all that money? Well, it actually wasn't that much money, right? But then for their own home, sky's the limit. I'm not saying a church should be extravagant. I think we should be modest, okay? I understand that. But the hypocrisy in that, people are just so self-centered, focus on their own stuff. But when it comes to the house of God, so stingy. You know, let the Holy Spirit speak to you today.
Heaven is is my footstool.
Let's just take a pause, a moment, and let's prepare a home in our hearts, a resting place, you know, meaning simply a place where Jesus right? The Holy Spirit is so comfortable. There's no dissension, bitterness, strife, anger that dwells in our hearts. A place where the Spirit of God, the dove, is welcomed, appreciated, celebrated, wanted. Let's just continue to prepare that place. You know, ever since that sermon a few weeks ago, I tried every morning just to take a pause and just prepare that home in my heart as I begin my day. I hope you do the same. Let's just pause and just continue to welcome Him. Just maybe as a prayer, say, Lord, You are welcome in this place. You are welcomed and celebrated in my heart.